Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. When you think of regions where French is spoken outside of France, Canada probably comes to mind in North America, or of course Louisiana, where the Cajun culture and dialect has a deep French influence going back hundreds of years. But what about here in Illinois? Our next guest, Dennis Stromat, is one of the few speakers of Illinois Country French, also known as Missouri French. He's working to preserve it. He's also working to preserve the music of Illinois Creole culture and has become a sort of ambassador, sharing the culture, stories, and songs with folks around the state and country. Dennis is a musician who's been recognized by the National Old Time Fiddlers Hall of Fame and has received numerous other awards and grants for his work, including the Missouri Governor's Humanities Award, the Illinois Arts Council, and is a speaker for Illinois Humanities. Dennis, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me here. Happy to do it.
And listeners, in order to make our schedules meet, we're taping this conversation ahead of time, so the phones are not open for this segment. But as ever, you can let us know what you thought on Twitter at 21st Show, that's at 21st Show, or send us an email to talk@21stshow.org. All right, so Dennis, I think some people are probably surprised to have just heard that there are small communities in Missouri and Illinois where people are still speaking French and have for hundreds of years. How did those places come to speak French in the first place?
Well, our French ancestors arrived here, actually began arriving in the late 1600s. And I say ours because my French ancestors came through Vincennes, Indiana, Creole ancestors, because I live in southeastern Illinois, and this is where my French connection is. They're oftentimes, when people think, if they think at all about our French, which most people don't, in Illinois and Missouri and Indiana, they usually think of the fur trade. But actually what brought our French here really was looking for a westward passage to the Pacific. They were also looking for gold. And actually how they ended up arriving was via prospectors coming into the area. And they didn't find gold, but they did find lead and they found iron. And that eventually brought about lead mining operations in the early 1700s in southeast Missouri. And with that brought families into the area. At the same time, you had small groups coming into southwestern Indiana around Vincennes that were along the river. The Catholic Church was setting up missions in the area, and this brought, small groups, originally. Many of us who have French ancestry also have a Native American ancestry. Native American, the term is Métis that we use in French. And it was because it was mainly French men who came, originally with lead mining and forced the military exploration, eventually the fur trade, and eventually this led to families developing in the area. With families developing, you develop sort of more of a unique language in the area. We developed our own more unique form of French music in the area, foods. Because of our climate, it's different than Canada specifically. It's also different than the state of Louisiana. So we are not Canadians and we're not Cajuns.
And I want to get into some of those differences later, but let's stick with these communities. So you mentioned Vincennes, Indiana. What are some of the other communities, particularly in Illinois? I mean, I know there is a Paris, Illinois. There's also a Versailles, although people pronounce it Versailles. So,
Prairie de Roche, Prairie de Roche, Illinois. Some people call it, Prairie or Prairie de Rocher, but it's Prairie de Roche is in French, as well as Chester, Illinois is actually next to what was Kaskaskia, which was the first capital of Illinois. Founded around 1699, 1700, and as well as Cahokia, Illinois. Over here in southeastern Illinois, actually, one of the oldest French towns in southeastern Illinois is St. Francisville, actually. which was founded by the Tugaw family in the 1790s. So these are some of the major families. Actually, kind of a sleeper, you might say, is Peoria. Peoria, Illinois, originally was Crèvecoeur, or Crèvecoeur, and was actually also a French inhabitation. So these are just some of the many that exist.
So you immersed yourself in these, in some of these communities. Were you speaking French, Illinois French, with them?
No, not originally. I mean, from where I'm at, you know, in southeastern Illinois, the French language was for the most part dead, you know, in Vincennes and around St. Francisville. There was still music, you know, with the 12th night balls and the rendezvous that have continued. You know, there was still French music being played even in the 1970s when I was a kid. You know, and I heard the music, and this eventually led me to Prairie du Rocher in the 80s, just kind of checking the area out. I heard the language actually spoken by a gentleman by the name of Percy Clare. And, but I was, you know, kind of told that that was the end of the language. And I, you know, that there was no other persons in the area speaking. Well, actually, it was a professor of mine when I went to school in 1990 to Southeast Missouri State University. A professor told me about the Old Mines, Missouri area. He mentioned that French was still actively spoken there. And so that led me to going to Old Mines, introducing myself to some of those in the community, and finding that, yeah, French was very much spoken. And in fact, there were hundreds of speakers at the time, over 30 years ago, in the Old Mines area, Bunterre, just west of St. Genevieve, Missouri, southwest of St. Louis.
I'm so intrigued about what this sounds like. So if I guess I have a two-part question. What would those of us who do not speak French, right? I had one class once. Would we think, are those people from France? Or would we think, you know, that's French with an Ozark accent? Or how would it sound to us? And then I'm also curious what it might sound like to somebody from Paris, Paris, France, actually.
Mais tu vas jamais croire que c'est le français. C'est ça le français qui est la France, parce que c'est pas la même chose. Parce que nos français, ils viennent de ici, c'est dans nos pays d'Illinois, c'est un français d'Illinois, c'est un français de Missouri. Mais je parle un français parisien ou le Cajun qui, quand on parle en la France, en la Louisiane ou du Canada, it's not the same thing. We don't, you know, our French is not, you know, it can be understood, you know, of course, by Cajuns, very well, actually, by Cajuns and Canadians, French Canadians, don't usually have much of a problem. But when I speak French to folks from France, I definitely get some odd looks.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are speaking with Dennis Stromat, who is one of the few speakers of Illinois Country French. It's also known as Missouri French. He's working to preserve it and to preserve the music of Illinois Creole culture. And he's become an ambassador for that culture, sharing it and the stories and songs with people around Illinois and around the country. So what got you interested in studying this aspect of your heritage?
Well, you know, really, there are kind of many facets to it. But, you know, when you're a teenager, you're always kind of excited at different things and new things. And really kind of what grabbed me was at one point when I was 13 or 14 years old, I was talking to a tour guide in Vincennes about our French heritage and, you know, asking what happened to all our French. And he responded, well, all the French are in the cemetery, you know, in Vincennes. And that kind of, I didn't understand that. And I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know if that meant the language or the culture or the music or all the families. And I'm like, well, if there are people with French names, there's got to be some kind of some legacy. And so when I went to Missouri and when I actually found people speaking French, what happened was I got invited to house parties, bouillon parties, because I was interested in the language and wanted to learn more. But I wasn't that focused on the language. I actually was focused on learning to play fiddle, because I had been learning to play fiddle. I'd been given my great-grandfather's fiddle just before I arrived in the mines in Missouri. And And I was really trying to learn to play, and people were playing at jam sessions, at these house parties or bouillon parties, as they're called, bouillon, like soup, or people, some say bouillon cube, it's the same word. And when I went to these, I started learning to play. A fiddle player by the name of Roy Bouyer started teaching me. Charlie Paggi was another. And I was introduced to some of the ladies in the area that sang. And I was really interested in the songs. But as I was learning to sing the songs and learning them, they declared, well, if you might be learning the songs, but you don't actually know what you're singing. And so it's important that you understand the words. And so you might want to learn to speak some of the language. And that led me to, while I was learning to play fiddle, I would stay with these folks at weekends during the summer. And I just enjoyed it. While some kids, you know, in college enjoyed going out and hanging out maybe in clubs or things like that on the weekend, I enjoyed hanging out with 80 and 90 year olds, you know, who spoke this language and who sang these wonderful songs and played these great fiddle songs. That's what drove me. It's what excited me. I just felt an innate connection to it that I just had to know more.
So on the music, how do you describe Midwest Creole, the music of Midwest Creole culture, and how that differs from what you might find in, for example, Louisiana?
Well, one, you might find that our songs are very syncopated fiddle styles. We use a short bowing style that's kind of similar in some ways to, some say Irish fiddling, but it's really more Celtic fiddling. We use a short bowing style. It's very fast. A lot of our songs are fast. We use a different timing, even in our waltzes. They're kind of a forward beat rather than a back beat, you might say, than a Cajun waltz. So we don't play two steps and we don't play waltzes like they do in Louisiana. We do more reels and jigs and quadrilles, mazurkas, these styles. And sometimes people will listen to our music and they'll say it sometimes on some songs, and we're like, well, that sounds like a bluegrass song in French. And sometimes they'll be like, well, that's almost a Cajun song, but boy, it needs an accordion, but it would be too fast for an accordion. The accordion couldn't play with it. You know, and so it's what it is. In a lot of cases, our music is similar because it comes from the same cultural background. In France, it just developed into different ways as it came here. And over the last few hundred years, our music has just morphed to something somewhat different. It's not the same. But it hearkens to the other areas. And so in a lot of ways, you know, some folks have called us a bridge, you know, a linguistical and cultural bridge between French Canada and French Louisiana. And I would have to agree with them that we are in some ways.
So is this history at risk of being lost?
Yes, always, always. And, you know, probably 30 years ago, it wasn't in as much danger, at least maybe I didn't think it was. And part of the reason was because there was no internet and you actually didn't have as much competition for cultural identification, you might say, in the larger sense of, you know, you didn't have to adapt to as much 30 years ago or 40 years ago to, you know, kind of a general Americanization. You know, MTV was new, things like this, these forms of music, country music. Yeah, you could get them on tape, you know, or records or whatever. But there wasn't this immediate need, you know, for this major connection. And so you kind of looked more within your community. And that's how they did. And now it's very different. The people didn't travel as much outside the community 30 years ago. Now, of course, everyone's traveling in and out. And so a lot of language has been lost. The music, interest in the music has been lost in kind of younger generations. And I guess you might say I was there. Whether it was an accident, I don't know, of time. I still don't know. I just accept it. That I was fortunate to be there when I was. and to learn what I did from the folks who were willing to spend the time with me.
So only about a minute left in our conversation. Do you, I understand you have workshops if people want to learn more about this. How can they do that?
I do workshops. Sometimes I teach courses at Wabash Valley Community College, but if people want to find me at creolefiddle.com, they can ask me questions. And, you know, I'm bad about getting back to people immediately, but go to creolefiddle.com.
And what reaction do you get from people when you do share this Illinois French culture with them?
Surprise and amazement, usually. Sometimes even after maybe performing for groups, they will often say, wow, I didn't know that there was Cajun music or Cajun culture in Illinois and Missouri and Indiana. I usually have to respond, I didn't know that either.
Dennis Stromat is one of the few speakers of Illinois country French. He's working to preserve it and the music of Illinois Creole culture. Dennis, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Dennis, we're going to go out on one of your pieces of music. Why don't you introduce it for us? What's the name of this?
I think Le Beau Madigra. I think you have that recording probably from the Illinois Country documentary.
All right. Well, Dennis, thanks so much again. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Le bon matigra, hey, bad isn't what we'll be.